First Corinthians chapter 12. First Corinthians chapter 12. Verse 1. Now about the gift of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. Verse 3. Therefore, I want you to know that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. They are different kind of gift, but the same Spirit distributes them. They are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. They are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone it is the same God at work. Now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit. To another gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another miraculous powers. To another prophecy. To another distinguishing between spirits. To another speaking in different kind of tongue. And to still another the interpretations of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one just as he determines.
Verse 22, on the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable, and the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor, and the parts that are not unpresentable are treated with special modesty. While our presentable parts need no special treatment, but God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lack it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. This is the word of God.
Thank you, Naomi and Ming, for reading the scripture. I got to use your stand. Yeah, good. Thanks. Everybody, happy Canada Day. Happy Canada Day?
Yeah.
I was at a picnic yesterday, and it was drizzling, and we managed to have the whole picnic without an incident, like it wasn't raining. And today, I bet there's a lot of activities going on after this. There's DI is having a picnic. There's a fireworks tonight. I hope you go out and see it. Be excited. This is 151-year-old Canada. I know when we were living in the States, whenever it's 4th of July, we pause and we all go to the fireworks, no matter how small the city is. So be excited, Canadians or PR or visitors. Today, I'm going to bring to you a continuation with the First Corinthians chapter. And today, we are in chapter 12. Now, if you can recall, First Corinthians, we started with chapter 1. The disciples in Corinthians were saying, one group was saying, I belong to Paul. Another said, I belong to Peter. Another said, I belong to Apollos. And then the other group said, I belong to Christ. And Paul said there was too much division, too much comparison within this church. And then a few weeks ago, I talked about 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and we are talking about the Holy Communion, the Last Supper, and they were also divided in this area because before the Holy Communion, they have a feast, a love feast, koinonia, a fellowship. And instead of coming together, eating together, they were actually segregating themselves. The rich were having all the gourmet food, and then they were not mixing around with the poorer Christians in the group. And then some of them, they were too hungry, they were eating too much, they were glutton, and some of them even got drunk. And then they come together and they want to participate in the Holy Communion. And Paul said, what are you doing? There's so much division. And just when you think that Paul runs out of things to say to the Corinthian church, he brings up another issue. Chapter 12, verse 1, it says, Now, about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters. So he is referring to something that the Corinthian church has been bringing up to Paul. It's not just in chapter 12. In chapter 11, the Corinthian church was saying to Paul, Paul was saying, now about the matters you wrote about. They were bringing up issues to Paul. And then in chapter 8, verse 1, now about food sacrificed to idols. Chapter 16, verse 1, now about the collection for the God for the Lord's people. So the Corinthian church had been issuing things to Paul and asking him questions. So in chapter 12, Paul is saying, now about spiritual gifts. Now, spiritual gifts, this is not the first time Paul talk about spiritual gifts. There are many books in the epistles, in the letters to the different churches. Paul also brought up spiritual gifts. In Romans chapter 12, Paul talked about different kinds of gifts, the gifts of prophecy, the gift of service, the gift of teaching, the gifts of leadership, gift of encouragement, gift of mercy, and all those different gifts. And then in Ephesians chapter 4, Paul talks about, so Christ himself gave to us, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. And then in 1 Peter, he talks about serving and teaching. And in 1 Peter, it's about hospitality, about serving. But today, we're going to talk and focus on 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Now, spiritual gifts come from a Greek word, and it's two words, spiritual gifts. The first word is pneumatika, it means the expression of the Spirit, and charismata, meaning expression of grace. So when you combine the two words, it's generally saying Spirit-given graces, Spirit-given gifts. They are special abilities or manifestation of the Spirit given to us, to the body of Christ, so that we can benefit and we can build up this body of Christ. Now, people have been debating whether spiritual gifts are natural talents. You know, we all have different talents. We all have different abilities. Are they the same as spiritual gifts? And what makes spiritual gifts spiritual? And according to the Bible, spiritual gifts are Holy Spirit-empowered gifts. And it's given to us so that we build up the body of Christ. And sometimes we are naturally given certain gifts. I know some people are very giving. They give beyond and above. And God will use that natural gift and they will give to the church and so that the body of Christ is built up by this person's giving. Or some people are very gifted in serving. When they see something, they want to serve. And God used that natural gift of serving and through that serving, they build up the body of Christ. And I like to compare spiritual gifts as a game of pickup basketball. Now, let's say at the basketball field, you just go in and you see this court and you see a lot of people coming together and they gather and they start playing. And usually the person who shoots the best, they will be the captain. So there are two captains and the captain will begin to pick up their own team. And as the team play, they did not huddle together and decide, oh, you should dribble, you should be the defense, or you should shoot, or you should be the rebounds. They just play. And those who are good at dribbling, you see them start dribbling. And those who are good at shooting, you see them start shooting. And those who are good at guarding, they'll start guarding. So when they begin to play, you see their gift being evidenced. And so it is with spiritual gift. And most Bible scholars classify spiritual gift in three categories: ministry gifts, manifestation gifts, and motivational gifts. The ministry gifts are such as apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. And they are the gifts to serve to reveal the plan of God. The manifestation gifts, they are the supernatural demonstration of the Holy Spirit to reveal the power and presence of God. And they are word of wisdom, word of knowledge. And usually word of wisdom and word of knowledge are interplayed together. For example, a person will have a word of knowledge and it will give you spiritual insight in a timely and helpful fashion, in a specific way to help you in your Christian walk. And then they will give it in such a way, in a wisely way, so that it will encourage you. I remember one time, there was this lady that came to my home church in Singapore, and she addressed all the pastors, and we were all in the room, and she gave us word of wisdom and word of knowledge. And I was surprised by the accuracy of the word that she said to me. She said, "I feel insignificant." And I started to cry because I was feeling insignificant. And it helped me actually address the issue that I was going through. And the word of wisdom, knowledge, put it in a very wisely way, helped me to address it and deal with it. And that is a manifestation gift of the Holy Spirit. One time, I was also at a breakfast. We were traveling, and we were at California. And this host, he was very generous and hosting us. And it was the last day we were supposed to leave. And suddenly, I blurted out something to him. I said, "You should spend more time with your daughters." And then my sister said, "Hush, why you say such thing to him?" And I realized later on, we found out that he traveled a lot to China, and then he was not spending a lot of time with his daughters. And I just say something. So sometimes spiritual gifts, according to some Bible commentators, they are situational, momentary empowerment given by the Spirit for a specific situation of need. And sometimes we do not know it. God do empower us just for that moment. Now, the other manifestation gifts are faith. And this kind of faith is not a salvation faith. It's not a faith that you come to Christ. But it's a special kind of measure of faith that God gives you to work miracles, extraordinary kind of faith to move mountains. And some of you may have that kind of faith where even in the very dim situation, God gives you a faith to rise above a situation. And that is the gift of faith. And I feel when we were doing some situation, I feel sometimes God has given me this kind of faith because of what I went through. I've gone through a lot of crisis in my life. And because of what I went through, sometimes God gave me this kind of faith to arise in my situation. So this is a gift from God. And gift of faith is also related to gift of healings and gift of miracles because you need that. And the other manifestation is gift of healing where you pray for the sick and they are healed. But sometimes God gave you just for that specific moment where you pray for someone, they are healed, and you pray for another person, they are not healed. It's for that situation. And gift of faith for healing, it's divine healing. It's not faith healing. Because divine healing is where God is sovereign. And God decides to heal or not to heal, so it's based on God. But faith healing is based on your faith. And you say, "Oh, if you have enough faith, you'll be healed." And that's not the gift of healing. That is human. And I remember one time when I was young, I went to Philippines. And it was quite eerie. I went to... my friend said, "Let's go to this faith healer." And we drove and we went to it. I just want to have a look. And this lady, she was like, you go to her and you say what sickness you have. And she start digging into your body and take out something. It's bloody and all that. That is not divine healing. That is not, that's a cult. That is occult. So that is not, we shouldn't go to it. But at the whole time I was there, I was praying. I wasn't feeling, my goosebumps were all there. I wasn't feeling comfortable at all. That is not faith. That is not healing. That is not divine healing. And the other manifestation of gift is prophecy. Prophecy is forthtelling and foretelling. Forthtelling is where you kind of know the future, and forthtelling is where you declare a message that you have received from God. For prophecy is usually given to address a particular situation in the church, to build up, to encourage, and to comfort the church. And the other manifestation of gifts are the discerning of spirits. And discerning of spirit refers to God-given ability to discern whether this situation is the power of God or demonic or human spirit. And I remember sometimes you have not seen demonic activities in this situation. But in Asia, there is a lot. And we know of this man because sometimes we see manifestation where the person is yelling and screaming and rolling on the floor. And we call upon this man to, he has a gift of discerning of spirit. And he can discern whether it's of human spirit or demonic or some other spirit. So gift of discerning of spirit, God gives us to the church to build up the church. And the other manifestation of gifts are gifts of tongue and gifts of interpretation of tongues. And some people have the ability to speak in tongues, and interpretation of tongue also goes well with gifts of tongue, and they are able to interpret the tongues and bring it into intelligible message so that the people of God can be comforted, can be encouraged, can be built up. Now, I'm going to tell you a story. During the French Revolution, there were three Christians who were sentenced to die by hanging. One of the Christians has the gift of faith, one of the Christians has the gift of prophecy, and the other has the gift of help. Now, the Christian with the gift of faith was to be executed first. So they asked him to come forward, and they were about to wear the hood over his head. And he declined. He said, "I'm not afraid to die. I have faith in God that he will deliver me from death." So before they hang him, he shouted bravely. His head was positioned, and he shouted very bravely, and he looked up at a pole, and he prayed, "God, I release my life into your hand. Rescue me." And when the rope was pulled, the gadget was pulled, nothing happened. His executioner was amazed and believed that this must be an act of God and freed the man. Next comes the Christian with the gift of prophecy. And he too was said, "I have no fear. Do not need to put the hood over my face. I'm not afraid to die. I'm ready to meet my maker. But however, I predict that the Lord is going to deliver me from this dilemma." So at once, the rope was pulled, and again, nothing happened. Once again, the puzzled executioner assumed that this must be the miracle of God, and they freed the man. The third Christian, with a gift of help, was next. And he was brought to the gallows, and likewise, he was asked to wear the hood. He said, "Nope, I don't need it. I'm just as brave as the two other men." So the executioner was about to position him and pull the rope, and the Christian with the gift of help said, wait a minute. I think I know, I found the problem with your gallows." And he's trying to help. Get it? Anyway, it's a joke. Okay, the last gift, the motivational gift, according to most Bible translate commentator, all of us, believers in Christ, we receive at least one of the motivational gifts. And they are, those gifts are serving, teaching, exaltation, giving, organizing, gift of mercy, and gift of prophesying. Now, when Paul was addressing to the Corinthian church, he saw that the church was not lacking in any of the spiritual gifts. They were all doing prophesying, teaching, serving, having gift of mercy. All of them were serving. But they were comparing. The thing is, they were using them, but they were comparing among themselves. Those with gift of maybe preaching or gift of apostles, they were ranking themselves above the others. And they were equating their gifts with their spirituality. They were not having proper understanding and proper conduct. And they were bringing old patterns, old attitudes into the church life. They were caught up with emotional experience rather than seeking to glorify God. Now, I want to establish this two facts. We have already. God has given his church spiritual gifts. All of us have spiritual gifts. Sometimes we don't think we have. And it's so easy to say, "Oh, I think I see that person serving. Oh, therefore that person has spiritual gift. I'm not. I don't have it." And we focus on what we do not have. We neglect to see that we too have spiritual gifts. The Bible said there are a variety of spiritual gifts, but one Spirit, one God that gives them to us. And to illustrate this, let's mentally pretend this is a very dark room. Okay, all the lights are maybe there's a power outage and it's cloudy, it's at night. But all of you are given a flashlight. And when there's a blackout, a power outage, we have no lights, but all of you are given a flashlight and we said, oh, all of you, please turn on your flashlight. But then one of you turned it on, one of you turned it on, but the rest of you hold it onto your flashlight and said, oh, I see the light coming from that side. I don't think my battery is working. Maybe my light is not bright enough, and you did not turn it on. But if everybody turned it on, instead of comparing, instead of measuring your own flashlight with another flashlight, and everybody turning on your flashlight, this whole room will be illuminated, and the darkness will be expelled from this building. So all of us have been given spiritual gifts. And it is actually the duty of the church, the work of the church, to encourage and to help you discover those spiritual gifts. The Holy Spirit imparts spiritual gifts to build up the church. And some of us may have more than one gift. All gifts are from God, and it is for the good of the church. And wherever spiritual gifts are being manifested, it's not for your own personal privilege or glory, but for the common good. Each gift is God-given. All are equally important. All are equally important. No matter whether they are small or big gifts, they are equally important and special. Now, when I was growing up, and even at this church, we tried doing a survey, spiritual gift inventory, and then we fill up this form with all the different questions, 40, 100 questions, and then we discover gifts, right, what we are good at. But instead of doing that, sometimes it's also good to start serving. And then when you serve, you start to discover. And I remember one time we talk about this joke, you know, when you see somebody spill a milk, and whoever said, oh, you should go and get a cloth and start wiping, and that person has a gift of administration. And then the person who pat the other person on the back and say, oh, I'm so sorry, you spilled your milk, but it's okay, we will get you another glass. That person has a gift of mercy. And then the other person start wiping and all that. That person has the gift of serving. All of us have gifts. And last week, we saw the grade 12 graduation. There's so many people in the kitchen. I couldn't believe it. It's like so crowded in the kitchen because they're all serving. And then there's some people sitting there marking who had paid, who had not. That person has given an administration. And then there's people going up to exalt and encourage the grade 12. That person has a gift of exaltation, preaching. You can see the gifts coming together and building up the church. God gives us spiritual gifts to build up the church. The prerequisite for receiving gifts are you have to be a Christian, and sometimes you have to desire them, and you have to start serving. And Paul, in the later chapter of chapter 12, he used the metaphor of the human body to describe spiritual gifts. He could have just stopped with, you know, you have this gift, and that's it. But he used the metaphor of the body. And look at this picture. The whole body is a Christian. And at the bottom is the church. And we have different gifts, different ministry, different activities, but the same Spirit that has given us. Paul said, in Christ, we though many form one body, and each member belongs together. For the body does not consist of one member, but many. The human body has many individual parts, but they all are coherent whole. All the body parts are different and unique and necessary and important. God arranged the members of the body with their diversity, but when they come together, they are mutually codependent, they are mutually co-connected. That is the church. We are different, but we come together, we build up one body, the body of Christ. Now, the problem with the Corinthian church is when they come together, there's too much division. Division concerning, oh, I follow this leader, I follow that leader. They were divided. Division when they come to the love feast. They were not sharing. They were hogging. And they were not embracing. They were not connected. Division. And again, when they have spiritual gifts, they were not connecting. They were comparing. Paul was emphasizing again and again and again in the book of 1 Corinthians, division. But God wants unity. God wants cohesiveness. God wants us to care, to love the whole body of Christ. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. I can see, I don't need you. The mouth cannot say to the eyelash, I don't need you. I'm speaking. The eyelash, what are you doing? All you need is catch some dust. We cannot say to each other, we don't need you. We have to have equal concern for one another. The body in the necessary diversity are in mutual dependent unity. When one body suffers, when one part suffers, the whole body suffers. If you hurt your finger, do not the whole body respond to it? And one part, when one part is honored, the whole body rejoices together. That is the body. Now the problem with many churches, not just VCAC, a lot of times we say the pastors, the clergy, those who are being hired, they are the ones who are gifted to do the ministry. The rest of us, we just are the receiver. But God say, no, you are all equipped. You are all gifted. You are all called for the ministry. There's a book called Volunteers, How to Get Them, How to Keep Them by Helen Little. And she kind of, this is not typical of VCAC Knight Street Church, it's typical of all churches. She said that the active leaders are the 5% on top of the pyramid, and then the active volunteers are 15%. And so that's what I heard a lot of. 20% of the church are serving a lot. And then 75% are the occasional volunteers, and then 5% at the bottom are not serving. And what are the reasons? The top reason for not serving? I'm not a member yet. I'm too busy with work and family commitments. My husband, my wife, and I need to spend more time together because we work. So the weekends, the weekdays, the weeknights are precious to us. I don't know what opportunities are available, so I do not serve. I don't have enough information about the available opportunities. I don't know what God has given me, what gifts God has given me. I don't have the skill required to serve in the available area. Oh, no one asked me. Oh, I come from a different church because I'm burnt out there. I need to be fed for a bit first. Don't ask me. Oh, I'm serving in other areas outside the church. I don't want to commit to anything in advance. I like to keep my options open. I live too far away and I struggle to get to church outside of service time. The staff are being paid to serve, so I don't have to. I don't know anyone who's serving in the area that I want to do. Serving is for the young people. They've got the time and the energy. Everything seems under control. I'm not needed. I offered to serve, but no one followed me up on that. I served for a while, but I felt unappreciated and no one thanked me. I've been hurt, discouraged, disappointed. I'm burnt out, I'm dry. I don't get anything out of it. No one cares for me. This church, some of you have been serving multiple positions, and some of you may be kind of burnt out. And the Sunday school, adult Sunday school class, we are doing this book called Emotionally Healthy Spirituality. So I'm taken from Peter Scazzaro. He said in our Christian walk, the first stage, you know, stages of faith journey. In the first stage, we all become aware of our relationship with God that is being broken. So, and then we come to Christ. In the second stage is where we are being discipled and we are learning. And the third stage is where we started to want to serve. But then we hit the wall. And Peter Scazzaro talked about the wall. The wall is where we feel that we are stuck in our spiritual journey. We are living on another person's spirituality. The wall is where we are tired, we are burnt out, we are disappointed. The wall is could be anything. It could be a crisis in the home. It could be disappointed with the church. It could be anything. And then we do not go beyond the wall. God intended for the church, the body of Christ, to be the light, to be where the love of God flows through us, where the purpose of God flows through us, so that the world can see God through the church. However, when we come through the wall, we stop serving. And the wall, some people call it the dark night of the soul, where Peter Scazzaro call it, or crisis of belief, or the valley of our Christian walk. And God, the amazing thing is God do allow us to go through that wall, meet that wall, because God wants to rewire us. God wants to purge us of our imperfection, of our passion. God wants us not just to delight in our service, but to delight in Him, in His love. He wants us to go enter into a richer, fuller communion with Him. And He wants to free us from unhealthy attachment and idolatries. There is life after the wall. God wants to bring us through the wall. And when we pass through the wall, we journey inward, we journey outward, and we are going to be transformed into love. But until we go through the wall, and Peter said, there are several walls that we go through. It's not like you go through one wall and that's the end. But there are several walls in our life that we go through. And when we go in the midst of the wall, God will break us. God wants to bring a greater level of brokenness. God wants to give us a greater appreciation for holiness. God wants to give us a deeper ability to wait on Him and a greater detachment from the world. God wants to transform us. And I know we all have spiritual gifts, but sometimes we serve our spiritual gifts in our own strength. But God wants to serve in fullness, in abundance, not with strife, with anger, with discontent. God wants to help us go through the wall. And recently, this is the book, and with an emotionally healthy spirituality, there's also the day-by-day. It's a devotional, and each day there's a morning, evening, or morning, afternoon, whichever. And one of the person tell me, hey, it's very good. And I start doing it. It actually helped me to center on Christ. I bought the Kindle version, which I download on my computer. So when you open the computer, the first thing is I go into the Kindle day by day, the devotional, and it's very intentional to focus all your attention on God when you start the day. And then in the middle of the day, you go to it again because they offer you two passages. It's a 40-day devotional, but each day you have two devotional, and you go to it and you find yourself entering into the presence of God, and you focus and you're quietened in your spirit, and then the rest of the day you feel at peace. And you know, you can have attacks, you can have people criticizing you, you can have demands of the work, demands of school, but you are centered in Christ. And what Peter said is, sometimes we do our quiet time, right? But we rush to it and we do it only one time. But if you do it several times and take pauses in your day and do it like first thing in the morning, and then when you get a bit rushed, do it in the afternoon, then at night before you go to bed, you do it again. If you do it several times a day, you will find the difference. And I'm beginning to find that difference in my life. And that's why, you know, some religion, like the Muslim, they pray five times a day. And the Jewish tradition, they pray seven times a day. And we know, as human, we tend to forget. We tend to be anxious. We tend to be off focus. But when we focus our life in Christ, God can bring that abundance. God can bring that fulfillment in our life. And then we serve him out of abundance. We serve him not out of need or duty, but we serve him with passion. We serve him because we love him. So instead of asking you, what is your spiritual gift? I'm going to ask you, how is your spiritual journey? Because God do not give us gift where he said, I'm going to give you gift, you have to serve me. But God gives us gift for the building of the church. But if your journey is broken, if your journey is at the wall, we're going to serve it out of deficit, out of deficiency. And then we serve it grudgingly. But God wants us to serve him with abundance. During a school band concert, Lynn was impressed how well this group of grade 12 and grade 11 played together. If each of them were to play solo, they would not have achieved a symphony, a band. But because they played their woodwind, their brass, their percussion, and they all played together, it was a resulting beautiful music. All of you have been given gifts, spiritual gifts. Not just you have natural gift, but with your spiritual gift added on to your natural gift, God will use it to glorify him. We are a body. And the definition for in concert is in agreement, in design, combined action, harmony, accord. And that's what God wants. When God, through the Holy Spirit, gave Paul, through the inspiration, the Romans chapter 12, he didn't just talk about spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts and the body. Communion and the body. Everything is one. Cohesiveness, oneness. Because health comes when we are together. Be devoted to one another. Honor one another above yourself. The goal is always connection, spiritual health, abundance, holiness. Let us pray. Lord, I thank you for this passage. Even as you empower us, you equip us with your spiritual gifts, you want us to serve you in abundance, in fullness, in surplus, overflowing, not out of deficit. Lord, if our journey with you is dry right now, fill us. Fill us to overabundance. Fill us to overflowing.